for the Cougar Cuties.
No, it's not time for the Cougar Cuties. It's time for the entertaining Two Ramblers podcast, where middle-aged guys talk Ramblers hoops from a very different perspective. I'm the host with the jokes, Dauber, from the class of 1994. And from the class of 1998, we call him the analyst with the attention to detail. I call him my little brother, Sammy D. Welcome in, Sammy D.
What up, Dauber? So good to be here with you this week. Had a sort of week that we thought we were going to get, but then the Tulsa one kind of put a little damper on it. But glad to be here tonight with you talking Ramblers hoops and recapping the last week and looking forward to South Florida coming up next Saturday. So we got a finals week. So it's always a big time. What was your best kind of final story? Did you have one where it's like you did the all nighter and then you just like hammered it and got the A, or I go to sleep and I don't stress the finals.
Okay, the one thing that pops out in my mind is not a highlight. I kind of did an all-nighter in this literature class, and I'd read a couple novels and like power read them the night before, and so it was essay questions. So I answer the first couple essay questions that are about the novels. So, right. You know, nailed the answers. Well, there was, I guess, some poetry in this class, too, and I had not paid attention to the poetry assignments.
Ruh-roh.
So they said, the guy talks about, here's the passage from this poem, and it's a famous poem by Yeats called The Second Coming.
Okay.
And he put in a quote about Bethlehem and something like that. It's a really famous poem. It's very dark. I just read Second Coming. I didn't remember reading it. So I start rambling about Jesus and this and that. and so I get this exam back and it's like a B or a C plus, which is weird. Cause I thought, man, I did good on this thing. And it's like, you know, I nailed the first four questions, and then he goes, "Hey, I can tell you didn't read this poem because it's about the Antichrist." So he gave me credit for just bullshitting. Are we clean show now? Do I need to beep that out? He gave me credit for that, but kind of said, I can't give you full credit because that was, your answer was completely off. So that's the one exam story I remember.
Man, that's a good one. I was thinking of it earlier today. One of my favorite classes was any class I had with a guy named Tim Guilfoyle. I'm not sure if he's still a history professor there. I think he is. I feel like he is, last time I looked. But anyway, I love the way he did his tests. Like, he would, his whole class, like, he had so much material that he would print out his notes and give them out before the class. And so then as you're taking notes, you just kind of highlight stuff or like kind of, you know, annotate stuff. And then for the final or the big final or the midterm, like, he would say, these are the potential questions that could be. Out of these 10 questions, I'm going to ask three. Out of these 10 questions, I'm going to ask three. And so it was like, I always felt really prepared for his test. And so the finals, like, I always aced because it was just like, I just love the way he prepared things. And I was just, it was really good. So, like, I love studying for his stuff because just the way he prepared his classes. And so he was always my best professor, and really enjoyed that. So, Tim Guilfoyle, if you get a chance. And then he used to do this thing where he'd do a bike tour through Chicago, and that was always the best. So, if they still does that, I highly recommend it.
And what rough beast, its hour come round at last, slouches towards Bethlehem to be born.
Yeah, you know, it's all about Jesus, you know, and
the second coming
of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
You know. Yeah. real shadows of indignant desert birds. The darkness drops again. How did I think this was good?
You never read it, so. Oh, well, what are you going to do? All right, we had two games this last week. One was kind of a downer that we thought might be a get-right game for the Ramblers at Tulsa. It turns out they were literally unconscious from three, and that game was kind of it was close at times, but then it made it feel like much worse than it was. And then, of course, on Saturday night, played Goshen College at NAIA school, and that truly was a get-right game because I think the highest total for minutes was 20 or 21. And so that was totally a practice game, exhibition game, and it truly lived up to that with the Ramblers scoring 115 points and winning by 50-51. So, but... You know, let's just kind of rewind a little bit, you know, Tulsa, you know, let's give out some awards and, you know, let's just kind of go from there. So anything you remember from the Tulsa game? Because I know that was midweek and it wasn't exactly a great of outcome.
Well, first of all, I had to work on Tuesday, so I could not watch it live. So in order to watch it on my TV, I have to go to ESPN. Yes. I have to start the game like I'm going to want to watch it live, and I have to go, na-na-na-na-na-na-na, like I have to say that so I don't hear anything. Then I have to take my Roku remote, and I have to rewind by going 10 seconds back 400 times. I'm not kidding. It's like six straight minutes of going back to get to the beginning of the game. So it's the only experience worse than that in streaming is the NFL football game on Amazon Prime.
Yes.
It's the same thing. There's no way to start the game at the beginning of the game. You always got to come in. It wants my password because I think it's not rated. And so my the way my Amazon Prime works is not rated. You know, it's like you're watching porn. You have to put in a password to get in. And then once you get in, you got to go, oh, now I got to rewind.
Eyes closed.
So ESPN, of course, it is what it is. At least it was on thing. But boy, I rewound to the beginning of that game. And then, of course, Tulsa caught fire and just got crazy. And then I kind of wished I didn't rewind as far. And I will say in the second half, this is the first time this has happened to me in the modern Loyola era. Let's talk about the, you know, post or Porter and beyond era.
Yes. Yes.
I have not watched a Loyola game where I swore out loud multiple times. But there were a couple times, and I wasn't a glutton of punishment for myself to go back and watch some of this. But there were a couple times where I just felt like I could see what Tulsa was doing, and I was helpless.
Yeah, there's a number of times where I saw, don't throw that. Why did you throw that?
Yeah.
He baited you into that pass.
Yeah, there were a couple of those passes that were bad, and then... you know, this new guy on Twitter, I don't know who he is. Is it called Blur's Stats or something?
Yes.
Do you know who I'm talking about?
I know who you're talking about. Let me find it and confirm it. But go ahead.
Blur's Stats, he, she, they, whoever it is, posted this breakdown of the game where they said we were doing this thing that worked very effectively at Harvard.
Blur's Breakdown.
So Blur's Breakdown, shout out to Blur's Breakdown. Great addition to the community.
Providing analysis of Loyola Chicago men's basketball and nothing more.
Yes. So, which I love because there's nothing worse than following a guy who talks Blurs 90% of the time. And then
then throws in like
Detroit Lions. Yeah, exactly. Of all the teams I don't care about. I don't want to hear a hot take on the Lions.
I can't believe we both said that at the same time.
Cleveland Indians is another one. I think someone posted about Cleveland Indians. I'm like, what?
Oh my
god. I'm sorry, Guardians. Guardians. My bad.
The Guardians.
The Guardians. Yes. I need Guardians to watch the Guardians. Isn't Guardians? Yeah. Isn't that a for acid reflux? Yes. So you can steal that one. If it's Cleveland fans, you can steal that one. Okay. Good. So anyway, right,
Blair's breakdown
talked about how we were covering, who is it, Mac? Was that the kid we were playing against Howard? Who was the kid we shut down?
Harvard. Yes.
Mac. And we were doing this thing where we would, you know, put ball pressure on the ball and bring another guy over. Well, it worked really well when there wasn't a lot of great other shooters for him to throw to. And plus, he was like 6 foot tall and had trouble getting right. the ball out. But this Tulsa team looked more like a prototypical A-10 team. They looked like they'd fit perfect in the Atlantic 10.
Yes.
They were taller. They were lankier. And a lot of them could shoot. So what happened when we double teamed? We left the guy open and all of a sudden, lights out city. Like, I mean...
Right.
We don't want to jump to that game. We're doing that game first, right?
No, okay. We're doing that game.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just looking at these, you know, I thought we had some gaudy stats against, against Goshen State. But, I mean, look at this guy. I'm going to read off a couple of these guys. There was a guy who had 14 points. Isaiah Barnes, PJ Haggerty, 14 points. Jared Garcia, 13 points. Jerry Garcia. That's what I kept calling him in the game. Keyston Willis, 15. Tyshawn Archie, 12. I mean, five guys in double digits.
I think they
had eight different guys hit threes. Is that possible? Let me count. You
every man on their roster hit a three.
Five, six, oh, no, seven, no, except, eight.
Kobe Williams was the only one who was 0 for 5.
Eight of nine guys.
So, he still took five shots out there.
So whatever we were doing with this, you know, this double team thing and this and that, our guarding the perimeter was horrible. And so it just made it so hard to get back in that game, even though you know, JD...
Jaden Dawson
was freaking going nuts. Yeah. It just still wasn't whatever we were doing on defense just wasn't working, and they were shooting like an incredible amount of percentage.
Well, I mean, yes, the trap definitely did not work for them as it did against
the trap. Harvard. That's what it was called, yeah,
the Harvard. But they just were lights out, and so you just got to tip your cap. The problem was there was a lot of like dumb turnovers. I mean, the Ramblers made 20 turnovers, and I don't know how many in the half or whatever. I don't have that broken down, but Tulsa only had 18. So it's like we would have been more competitive had we not had just, and they were just not smart turnovers or like just like, okay, hey, we're being aggressive. They were just like, hey, I'm going to telegraph this pass, and then they're going to, you know, intercept it. And it was like, it was at least three or four occasions where we as the audience watching on TV could see where he was going to go with the ball. Don't throw it. Why did you throw it? It's intercepted and going back the other way. And then the other thing, another glaring stat is free throws. In the second half, they were 14 of 19. Ramblers trying to come back, 4 of 8. So 10 points. 10 more, again, 10 more. Or overall, they were 22 of 33. We were 8 for 14. That's 14 points. The margin of victory was 11. It's like, I don't care what we do. We have bad turnovers, and we give up way too many free throws. And so it's kind of indicative of the, you know, the defense that we're still trying to learn and become more accustomed to. And they're growing into it. They're showing flashes of brilliance, i.e. Harvard, i.e. Boston College. But yet they're still growing pains with it. And hopefully, you know, next Saturday against USF, they begin to show, you know, more consistently defensive, you know, gems. Because they said it in the broadcast against Goshen, Drew's, you know, desire for this team is to be a top 50 in defense, so then it can afford them the ability to play offensively well. If they're not top 50 in defense, then we're not going to be competitive if we're in 100 or above.
Well, and one thing I feel like a trend I'm seeing is, obviously we saw the Phil Alston back with his hop game, you know, against Harvard. We saw him at Goshen just, I mean, a man among boys. I mean, he looked like those old clips of, who was it, Will Chamberlain?
Yeah.
I mean, he just looked bigger and taller and just could, at will, score in the Goshen college game. But the throw down to Philip Alston in the Tulsa game, that strategy wasn't quite working. They knew that's what we were trying to do. So some of those turnovers and stuff were trying to pass into the interior. I don't know if it was spacing. I don't know if they were double teaming. I don't know if it was a zone that they could just kind of see, well, that's what we wanted. And so...
Yeah, and then he got into two quick fouls in the first half, and that kind of derailed it. You know, he played 24 minutes, and I think he's still kind of getting up to speed. But when your best player is, I mean, Braden played 36, and then Dez got a little dinged up. You know, Jaden played 28, so it's like, and then yeah, then Phil had 24 minutes, and that was because he had he ended up with four personal fouls. But he had two quick ones in the first half, and that just really kind of derailed that first half. So I think the problem that I could see happen for Phil going forward is because he is so much bigger than everybody else comparatively to his size, you know, the 6'6", 6'7", guy, he's going to bowl people over, and the ref's going to think, oh, that's a charge, even though the guy just, he's in the way. And so I think it's like how to use the size disadvantage for his benefit. I think it's something that he's still trying to figure that out. And it seems like he is, you know, figuring it out, but it's just like, again, I just think this year will be a testament. It's like, if he can stay out of foul trouble and play 30 minutes a game, that's a recipe for really good things happening for Loyola.
Well, and there were a couple of times, and this is a trend. I can't, you know, I didn't watch enough to see every possession. But there were a few times where Phil would get the ball deep and then dribble and then kind of have a hard time being in position to score. Like, there were a couple of challenging times like that. And it kind of reminded me of our old friend Danielle Bush. You know, every once in a while he'd get the ball down low, and I'd be like, don't put the ball on the floor. Can you go right up with it? Please don't put the ball on the floor. And I'm not saying that's happening with Phil, but it does feel like at different points the ball's coming in from different ball handlers because we're still trying to figure out who's doing what.
Right.
And it does feel like sometimes he gets the ball in a position that's challenging, then he dribbles, and that sometimes can turn into a turnover or just a like an off access shot where it's like, oh, whereas in Goshen, you know, we were able to get these clean balls into him and he's right there in the perfect position to lay up or dunk. And it's like, that's just not going to happen in the A-10.
Again, this goes to the fact that his injury, I think, prevented his growth. And so we took three steps back because of the injury. And so he's still kind of figuring things out. So I think this week will be really good for him. They said in the broadcast of the Goshen game, you don't want to have him out there too much against Goshen and thinking, oh, this is way too easy, I don't need to work. And then moving forward, that's more not the case. Because it was unstoppable against Goshen. But, yeah, he was truly manimal. But I think the takeaway that there were two takeaways that I took away from Tulsa. Was one was the coming out party for Jaden Dawson, where he just lit it up from, you know, downtown. He was 8 of 11, you know, tied a record that only three others had. And I think... was the other thing that I took away from the game was just the grit they were down by 20 at one point in the second half and ended up getting it to 10. You know, ended up losing by 11. So it was like, okay, you know, it was not a great game. You know, I think they were even down big in the first half and got it down to 3 at the half. So there was moments where it was like, hey, they showed grit and they showed like, hey, again, this goes back to the thing that I've talked about with the Ramblers that I really enjoy is, do they belong on the court? And I think they did. They showed that they do. They just still need to iron some things out. And it looks like they are working towards that. And so that's my takeaway from Tulsa was like, this was not it was a loss. We don't want to lose. But it's something that we can learn from. And going into Goshen, you know, something that as I listened to Drew's comments after the game against Tulsa, he's like, we still need to work on stuff. And if we don't work on it, even against Goshen, we're not going to be successful moving forward. And so, you know, Tulsa is a good squad. Again, their KenPom was not ideal, but I think they'll be fine. And I do find it ironic that, hey, we're going to play Florida Atlantic, or we played Florida Atlantic. Well, now we played Tulsa. We're going to play USF. These are all teams in that American, you know, athletic conference. So it's like, maybe we should move into that conference. But with that said, I think there were positives in that Tulsa game, which showed us that we're not getting run off the court like we were last year. When we went down to Myrtle Beach and truly got run off the court in those three games. So I there were some good things from it. You know, I do have some awards if you're okay with me throwing them out, but you have your finger up. So I'm going to pass it back to you.
I know you're the analyst with the attention to detail, but something didn't sit right with me when I looked at this stat sheet.
Okay, hit me.
I thought we were horrible from three. I thought we were just awful. Okay. But then I see team stats. I go 38% from free. Okay. Oh, okay. We were 40% from three, you know, almost 40. That's not horrible. Okay. Well, so what's the problem? Well, take Jaden Dawson out of the mix. Jaden Dawson, 8 for 11 from three. Let's take him out of the mix.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Let's take him out of the mix. We get 4 for 23 for the rest of the guys. That's 0.17. I'm sorry. Yeah.
17%.
That's not good. That's not good. We're talking Sheldon. We're talking Phil Alston. We're talking Des Watson. Braden went 3 for 7. So that's not horrible. You know, that's close to 40.
Yeah, everybody else was.
But everyone else was awful. We're not going to win against a team like this playing like that.
Yeah, especially if they shoot 50% from three.
Yeah, so it's like that has been something that I guess is just frustrating the last 2 years, is getting into a team where their three-point shooters feel comfortable, are seeing the basket, and our three-point shooters, who we've all seen have great games, you know, 3 for 4, 5 for 6, those kind of guys, all of a sudden they're going 1 for 5. They're going 0 for 4. Like, it's like, come on, someone make a basket. And that's a frustrating thing. And I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's spacing, ball movement, something else, not, you know, tired legs, like you've mentioned before, but it seems to affect us more than other teams, because these other teams come out and it's like bang bang. Oh, when they get an open look, sometimes it's just like a laser, you know.
Again, I this speaks to, again, common thread throughout the season is just knowing your role. And I think those teams, those players know their role. Hey, you know, I'm open, I'm going to shoot. And they were uncharacteristically all hitting. I don't think it was indicative of, you know, they saw the maroon and yellow, but maroon and gold. But I agree with you. I think Phil coming back against Harvard and then now against Tulsa getting his legs. It's like everyone's still trying to figure out what's my role on this team so that I can function in that. Because when we're out of our roles, then you're trying to do too much. And then we've seen the Ramblers when they do that, it doesn't look good. And they're trying to do it, just overcompensate. And when one overcompensates, then you're not effective and efficient. And I think when the Ramblers are efficient and it's like everyone's functioning in the role, Harvard is an example of that. You know, and so I'm really curious to see how they play against USF. Did they learn the lessons that they had against Tulsa? Did they, the things that they worked on against Goshen, are they now putting it into practice against a team that's more their caliber?
Well, I do think when you're talking about roles, I do think we are seeing a role get established. A guy is taking a role. I think that based on the last three games, or four games, I guess, if you include Creighton, you're seeing a two-guard emerge. I mean, wouldn't you say that that's the role that's really suiting Jaden Dawson?
Yeah. No, he is definitely emerging as the two guard, or the off combo guard is the word that they use a lot, where he's that second option, third option to fill, and even to Dez to some extent. And I Drew's comments on against Goshen is he mentioned that Dez was nursing an injury that may have been sustained against Tulsa.
But I think one of the reasons why this is a real positive, I think, and again, I'm not a huge hoops guy, right? This is like new to me, but I think this is going to bode well in the future as Braden graduates, because Braden kind of plays that combo guard. And we've said that he almost looks like he's better in that shooting guard spot when he doesn't have to focus on bringing up the ball all the time. But he will not be here next year. So who will be that two guard who also plays great defense, who's going to be able to put in buckets? And we've seen this kid can make buckets and can get to the hoop too. In the Goshen game, he had that crazy dunk where he ended up on his butt because he got too high. I was a little under the weather this weekend, so I didn't have my meme game going, but I really wanted to play some really dramatic 90s music. Do you remember the Creed song? Yes. Can you take me higher to a place where the... I just thought that'd be funny with that dunk, because it looked like he went to that extra level, you know. So
yes, no, especially when he grabbed the ball and went. But for Hammer, obviously, you know, Dawson gets that for the Tulsa game, and then
coming off the bench
and just it really being aggressive with his shot. I just appreciated that. And then the JB Alberto play of the game, I thought, was the Alston behind the back driving to the rim with the slam. I think that was Manimal at its best. And so exactly. Let's hit a break. You know, the music will be right back to talk about Goshen.
And we've reset.
I love it.
Literally, I did nothing except for just sit in silence for 10 seconds. So
hey, sometimes you just need a reset. Sometimes you just need a little TO, a little, you know. But all right, so Goshen College out of Goshen, Indiana, in AIA. Chris Sparks, God bless him. He kept trying to talk up Goshen. Like, they're playing an awesome conference. Dude, they're 0-9. They're 0-10 now.
Yeah, so you know, like, you knew something was up at the Gentile Center when there were horse and buggies out. There was like a big Mennonite. They didn't know where to put their horses.
Big bearded dudes.
we kid.
Y'all hate her. Why are we throwing into these net things? Where are the peach baskets? You know. So,
is that your Mennonite
that's
accent?
That's my bad Mennonite accent. So,
Brother Sam, we didn't see you at the you know, your pie's ready, Brother Sam.
At the barn raising, yeah, we didn't
see. Your pie's ready.
So, hey, a couple things coming out of Goshen. Okay, this was a practice game. It was an exhibition. It truly was. But
exhibition for them, which is hilarious. Right. Real game for us. Exhibition for them.
Yes. This was truly a get-right game. But there were a couple things that, again, I wanted to draw attention to, and just get your thoughts on it. And one was going into the game is, why are we playing this game? You know, that was the it was like Twitter, like just all of a sudden, like you threw out this great meme with the blowing the AI blowing the leaves, you know, using the maple leaves. I thought that was, I really enjoyed that. And then all of a sudden, like, people that aren't Rambler fans are like commenting and like, why are you playing this trash team or whatever? And it's just like, and so I really wanted just to speak out on this idea that Twitter was like, sometimes it, and people were, and that was the issue, is like, why are we scheduling this game? And I just think it's because no one wants to come to Loyola, you know, a non-conference team. You know, somebody, a bigger conference, like somebody was complaining, like, you know, they were looking at, who was it? Drake was playing Nevada, and they're like, oh, you know, how are they getting them to Des Moines? I'm like, they're playing at a MTE, you know, out in Nevada. That's how they got it. They're playing them. So it's like scheduling is still an issue for the Ramblers, because I the thing I'm really annoyed with a lot of Loyola Twitter is, we think we deserve so much more. I've said this last season, I'll say it again this season. We haven't earned that. And then just this notion that we should have people coming to Loyola all the time to play us. We're not that good. We proved that proved it last year. But then, like, we haven't earned the right where teams want to come play us, for the sense that, like, it's a positive. It's still a negative to come play at Loyola, you know, unless you're an A-10 opponent, you know. And so it still boggles my mind of, like, Loyola fans, we got to have some perspective, because it's ridiculous.
Well, I told you last year on this podcast about a little, you know, side conversation I had with Steve Watson and a couple other season ticket holders. And we just asked him all the hard questions, like, will Oklahoma ever come and play us? No, absolutely not. Will any of these Big Ten teams come and play us? No, not, they will not return our calls. It's not going to happen. And then he started throwing out teams like Tulsa, you know, one of those teams from Charlotte or Charleston, right? The one of the ones that's coming.
Yep.
Those are the type of teams that might come and play us. Those right. are the type of teams that are open to a home and away.
Right.
And, you know, teams that aren't really in, you know, coming to Chicago to play anybody else. Steve Watson is putting together a schedule, and he's trying to have, you know, trying to, not to have too much breaks between games, trying to keep guys regular. And I don't know how Goshen got on the calendar, but I will say that there was, it, you know, that USF game was supposed to be in Atlanta, right. And we knew we were going to be at Tulsa, and I'm sure they're trying to think, we need a home game between these two, that we need something kind of to keep things going between these two non-con opponents, and this is who they got.
And we have finals, so our student athletes, even though they're getting still, you know, they're now getting paid to some extent, they still have classes in finals. So I'm not going to, you know, try to, I want to have a lesser opponent, but sometimes it just schedule-wise, it doesn't work out. And so it's like, yes, we would not like to have to play an NAIA school, but for where we're at right now, that's just, we got to play them, because yeah. It's like, they need a game.
Well, and I think another thing people maybe thought of as well, you know, we have this proximity to the Valley. Well, we left the Valley. The Valley doesn't want to come and play us, and now they're coming to play UIC. So we're not going to have Bradley come for a little nostalgic game. One team that I would wonder why they don't come is Northern Illinois. I feel like that's a team that could come. We did have Eastern. Why not Northern? And the women this week are playing SIUE. I don't know why they couldn't come up. They play St. Louis almost every year.
Yeah, so, Ohio Valley Conference. Yeah.
Yeah, why couldn't they come up and play? So I feel like there are a few teams out there that maybe could make it. I wouldn't mind seeing the women play the Milwaukee Panthers.
Yeah.
I'd love to see a Panther matchup. Are they still in Horizon? I don't even know what they're in now.
Yeah, they're still in Horizon.
Yeah, how about maybe that could happen? So I feel like those are the potential type teams that we could play. Maybe one day we'll play a Valley team again. But
I don't think we will, because of the fact that UIC is in the Valley.
Right. Okay, you're right.
Because why would if the trajectory that where we're on right now, or at least the level we're at right now, there's no advantage for a Valley team to come play us at Loyola. But if we improve where we're at a top 50, team, then I could see where that could happen. But if we're still, in this 100 range, because right now there's five or six teams in the Valley who are in the top 100, top 125.
Right.
So it's like, they don't need to come play us.
Well, and just to think about it like this, guys, one of the reasons that we joined the Atlantic 10 was now we're guaranteeing ourselves games at least. I mean, you got to think the Atlantic 10, five teams are going to be good every year.
Yeah.
And so we're going to get more quality away games, more quality home games just by being in the Atlantic 10. So that's the whole reason that you get into one of these conferences. But it doesn't mean you're going to have this great non-con schedule just handed to you.
Exactly. Yeah. So I wanted to discuss that, because it's just like, it's starting to annoy me. And we mentioned it last week about, blocking guys, and it's just like, I'm with you. It's just like, it's kind of like,
well, seriously. And the Chicago State one too. It's like, first of all, I like the fact that we're playing Chicago State.
Yeah, I do too.
I like the fact that Chicago State is better, that they punched us in the mouth. I like that. I want to keep playing Chicago State. I don't want Chicago State at some point to go, well, we don't want to play them. I want Chicago State to play us every year. I would like UIC to play us every year. I would like Northwestern to play us every year. Oh, crazy. But
I'm not sure if I want to play Northwestern this year.
No. Hey, by the way, I did get the invite to Northwestern in a couple weeks. So, guys, if you see me on TV with a Northwestern sweatshirt and a purple scarf, just so you know, it's only one game. It's only one game. I bleed gold and yellow. But when I go there and I'm hosted by fans, I feel like they deserve the Dauber experience. They don't deserve a sullen, Rogers Park Loyolan. They need someone who's, hey, Northwestern basketball can be good, and it's not a scarcity.
They beat the number one team in the country.
Exactly. And it's not
you need the number one podcast in the A10 representative to show up and give some love. I get it.
Well, no, here's the thing. You know me. I'm about abundance. I'm not about scarcity. So Northwestern doing well takes nothing away from Loyola, especially when Northwestern makes the tournament last year, beats a number one team, and we have the worst season in 10 years. So it's definitely like, their success takes nothing away from us. We still have to focus on our league and our opponents. So, all right.
Yes. All right. Again, Jaden's showcase, against Goshen. I'm going to reserve the fact that the game doesn't deserve much talk about, because this was literally the Ramblers were playing a high school team. I don't care how much Chris Sparks tried to talk up, Goshen, that team did not deserve to be on the court with Loyola. That was a practice game. It did exactly what it needed to do. Phil played 17 minutes and scored 25 points. That tells you right there what exactly was going on. He was 9 of 11 from the field, 6 of 7 from the free throw line. He did whatever he wanted to do down low. And I think his misses, he ended up getting offensive rebounds and putting it back up. So it doesn't count.
Yeah, he looked like me playing where only one of three shots go in, but I'm so good at rebounding because I can use my weight to just move guys out of the way.
Exactly.
That I still make the shot, but it's like three times the charm.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what
it was. He had a couple of those.
But so there were a couple awards, though. The JB giant play of the game was without a doubt. I mean, I had two in mind. One, of course, was the one that was on SportsCenter, was Jaden's, you know, alley-oop dunk, which was spectacular. But the other one that I had was a guy that we've been calling for. We want to see him more. But he hasn't earned the playtime, but I think he may be earning more playtime, was Ben Schweiger doing the quintessential Loyola play, the high pick and roll where Miles does the pick, you know, Ben rolls off or kind of dribbles around, and then Miles then returns and rolls to the hoop and then Ben feeds him for the dunk, the two-handed dunk. It was just really pretty to see. And it was just like, yes, you know, he can be effective. Ben played, and that then leads into my Hammer Hawes player of the game, was Ben Schweiger, you know, that he played 21 minutes off the bench, was the most minute player. He only scored 5 points, but he had 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals. He looked like he was having fun and out there playing it. And I really enjoyed watching him play against Goshen. And I hope that means getting more minutes down the road.
By the way, we've never gotten an official name of what that play is. I've decided to rename it, and I don't have the audio to play. But I've decided to rename it the Funky Cold Medina.
I love it.
You ask a guy why he's so fly. Funky Cold Medina. Cold Medina.
Yes. Tone Loke.
Yes.
Love it.
Yes. So, well, I would say that was a 90s callback, but I think that's actually an 80s callback. I think it was 89.
Is it 80s?
I think it's 89.
Okay. Well, we have to look
89's the number. Sound of the Funky Drummer.
But your thoughts about that? I mean, you watched, at least you were at home. Unfortunately, because of the illness, you were not able to go to the game.
No, so painful. I got hooked up for the game and then could not go, which was painful to cancel. And my thoughts of the game were, I mean, as soon as Phil got it down low, like on the first couple possessions, I'm like, ugh. Why am I watching this? I guess this is like a gold maroon scrimmage.
This is a gold squad game.
Yeah, yeah. And so I'm trying to think of one takeaway I had. Schweiger has a new haircut, which is always interesting.
He's gone with the buzz cut.
Yeah. So he started the season with a mullet, then it got a little shorter, and then now it's a buzz cut.
Yeah, now it's a buzz.
So he looks like one of the guys in Full Metal Jacket now. Anyway,
I was hoping he would keep the, you know, the mullet for the with the Von Erich movie coming out. Because that would have been
all right.
Choice.
So. But, you know, it was cool to see some of these other guys get in. You know, Trey Lewis is a guy. I'm curious what he's going to turn into. So it was cool to see him. It was cool to see Matthew Mortensen get in.
Yeah.
I know everyone's all excited when Will Smythe gets in. But, you know, Matthew Mortensen's a more solid guy, a little broad-shouldered, named Matt. You know, It's easy to root for the old dauber, aka Matt Topshoots. There's a part of me that see myself in him, kind of like, you know, when I went and saw Rudy, the movie. It's, I could do that. You know, maybe I could get in and go, you know, play a couple minutes for the Ramblers in garbage time. You know, I don't know, just a thought. But yeah, I mean, and then the other person that I was excited to see a little flash of was Caleb Reese.
Yes, he just played really well.
It was cool to see him in there. So, as we've talked about, you know, I'm sure we're going to hit the portal next year, but you know, we're losing Welch, we're losing Norris, we're losing Dame, we're losing
Phil.
We're losing
Dolan.
That's it. Oh, well.
Sheldon. Did you say Sheldon?
I think Sheldon's got one more year.
Yeah. Sheldon's got one more year. Sorry.
Sheldon's got one more year. So, and you know, theoretically, maybe we lose someone to the portal. It's possible. So, who's going to be coming up? Who's going to be stepping up? I think when I see Jaden and Jalen, this is why I think, you know, sometimes I hear guys, this is Twitter gone wrong.
Yes. Speak to it.
Twitter, Jalen's playing and he's not scoring that well. And he's got 22 minutes and people are like, where's Jaden? Where's Jaden? Like they're interchangeable. And that's where this role thing, it's like I could see in the future next year, I could see Jalen bringing the ball up, playing the point guard and Jaden being the two, right? So
yeah,
they're not.
Dez is the three.
So they're not like you're not necessarily. There are going to be games where Jalen runs more because you know he's trying to become that point guard. I think.
Yeah, I mean,
we need him to become that point guard.
He is the point. He is that point guard. Right.
So it's kind of like, you know, it's like you need him to excel in his role. And you need Jaden to excel in his role. And you're going to see sets where they play all together.
Right.
And then they even got Norris out there sometimes still, too. Like, all three of them are out there. I think there's even times where the two of them are out there with Dez and Norris. I mean, which is kind of nuts. But I get it, you know. And they're switching. The switches seem to be doing well. I definitely think when we play shorter teams, we have a lot of options.
Yeah. No, but even with the bigger team, I still think there's options with those guys because take Norris out. Everybody now is 6'4 and above. And so it's just like it provides an opportunity for guys to have some interchangeable parts on the defensive end. Offense different, but on the defensive end where it's like, hey, we can switch. But I wanted to bring up Coach Drew's comments after the Goshen game. I thought were really telling, and I was excited that he spoke to it. But he talked about Ben Schweiger and that how he was excited to see Ben play really well in extended minutes in the Goshen game. And this is something everyone's been clamoring of, like, hey, he's, you know, was A-10 freshman last year. And I was thinking back. Last year, the freshman class of the A-10 was really down all around. There really wasn't a lot of A-10 freshmen, partly because of the fact of the COVID year was still in effect. And so we didn't see a lot of freshmen play or get a lot of minutes. And so, yes, Ben earned his right and kudos to his award. But this year, you know, Drew had said, hey, we asked Ben to work on some stuff. And he still is working on it, but meeting with him, and this is the thing that I was really encouraged by. Drew said, and I quote, I meet with him weekly. I meet with him regularly and talking about the things that he needs to improve upon, and he is putting in the work. I was so excited by that because if you listen to Twitterverse, or again, this is why Twitterverse is a necessary evil. Ben's out in the doghouse and no one's talking to him. And so he's in the portal. He's already, you know, entered in the portal. You know, he's in Drew's doghouse. And I don't think he's in the doghouse. I just still think, hey, you still have some things to work on, and there's some guys ahead of you. That's okay. There's still plenty of run for you in the next 2 years. And I think that's exciting to see, or I was encouraged by Drew's comments that he's still engaged. He's still in the, you know, wanting to grow as an athlete and a player, and he's putting in the work. And there are these moments against Goshen and hopefully against other teams down the road where we'll see Ben, you know, be able to play, because come next year, you're right, there will be a gluttony of minutes available for him to slot into.
Well, and I think this is something that is maybe counterintuitive. I think that we're actually, based on our portal, we're an attractive place to come.
Yes.
We now have, I mean, even starting back with Custer and Richardson, right? They were portal and guys.
Tate Hall.
Yeah. We've now been a good place to land in as a portal. And I just think there's a lot of fear that the NIL is going to create all this portal jumping all the time. And I do think there is going to be, at that high level, there's going to be a lot of movement. But I think what you're going to start seeing is you're going to see people start picking programs because they can make money. They can make money at Loyola. They can make money at, you know, Louisville or wherever, right? There's going to be some money in both places. So it's not going to be that there's no money at Loyola.
Right.
And then it's going to be, where do I fit the best? And what's up? And I just think we're going to be able to hold on to guys. I just think this idea that we're all of a sudden, people are just going to go, oh, I don't want to be a Rambler anymore. I don't think that's the truth. I think we're going to start having guys who are program guys. We've already seen it. You don't think Norris could have gone somewhere else?
Yep.
I know he came from Oakland, so or Tom Welch, maybe one of the, I mean, some of the, I'm sure they could have had options.
Yeah.
I'm just curious. I think with NIL kind
of
getting
NIL this, and then the loss of, and then no more of the COVID year. Cause now I think this is the last year where guys who were, I still think maybe this year or next year, but I think it's this year where it's like, you no longer have to carry, you know, 15 guys, because, you know, you think about it, like Tom and Braden are COVID guys.
Sheldon, too, I think.
Sheldon, maybe? Yeah, but, yeah, I think you're right. So it's like, yeah, so after next year, I think will be the last year of, you know, COVID guys. So I think that should slow down, I think, the NIL, or I'm sorry, the portal guys, because there's not as many guys that are available to take that fifth year, that, you know, that grad guy.
And then there's all these portal horror stories. I mean, you know, this guy jumps to this program. This, you know, I just was reading about a guy at VCU who,
right,
the NCAA said, no, this guy, his reason for jumping to VCU isn't valid, and we're not going to make him eligible. And
right.
And you know, we had this kid, that kid on UIC last year, tried to go to Kentucky or something, and you know, had problems getting eligibility. So like, this idea that guys are just going to jump around and we're going to keep losing people, I don't think it's going to happen. I think we're going to attract people who want to play for Loyola. You know, and we're going to keep a majority of those people who fit our system. Because if you fit our system and you buy in, why would you leave?
Right.
I mean, what, to go play for a, you know, a Valley team? I mean, you could, but I don't think it's going to happen. I think we are going to continue to attract quality people. And for, you know, people question Drew's, you know, X's and O's, you can't question his recruiting. I mean, I feel like he's just been such a difference maker in the way that he gets people in. I mean, Des Watson's a great example.
Right.
He's going to be good for us this year. A lot of people were scratching their heads why he would leave Davidson, or or that he would come to Loyola, especially Atlantic 10 people who saw the sample from last year. And yet he's coming. His dad's there all the time. They're all in as a family. They seem all in. Like he seems like he's all in.
Yeah. I think there's going to be more of those stories.
Phil seems all in. Sheldon seems all in. These guys who've come here, Tate Hall, it's hard to think of them playing. Norris, it's hard for me to even think of them playing somewhere else. They seem to be such kind of ramblers, you know?
Yeah. All right. Looking forward, I have a couple more comments or a couple more things. Question for you. We didn't talk about this last game against Harvard, and we totally missed it. And forgive us, because I know two Rambler fans are so excited when we bring this up. But there were some shoes that were displayed at the Harvard game that were pretty phenomenal. And so you, as the shoe expert, you know, what were the two that you saw that were just phenomenal, and anything shoe-related for the last couple games that you wanted to call out?
Well, I mean, the thing that I wanted to call, we did call this out last time.
No. We did it post pod. we realized we totally forgot to talk about it.
I thought we talked about it.
No, we talked about it on the phone.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. So I saw Will Smythe a couple games ago.
Harvard.
Before Harvard. He got in.
Before Harvard.
He played on Harvard, didn't he?
Yeah.
He played in the Harvard game. No, I'm saying he got in. It was a couple games earlier. I noticed he was on the bench. I think it was the New Orleans game, and he had Kobe Grinches on. They're green Kobe Sixes,
right,
with red laces, right?
Yes,
and they're kind of a, you know, they're nicknamed the Grinches because they're that Grinch color,
right?
That Grinch green. And I don't know the origin. I don't know if Kobe played in a Christmas game with these or something like that. So they're kind of iconic, and they now resell upwards of $1,000, which in lifestyle shoes is a ton. But in basketball shoes, it's really crazy to have a basketball shoe worth that much, because basketball players play in basketball shoes. They don't put them on a shelf and look at them.
Exactly.
So it actually is kind of a weird thing that these shoes resell for so much, but people love them. And then this year, Nike is releasing next week, actually, what they're calling the reverse Grinches. It's the colorway opposite. So it's red with green laces. And the reverse Grinches are now, you can enter at Foot Locker to get them. And they sell for $190. And I guarantee, you will see a Rambler this year in the reverse Grinches.
In the reverse Grinches.
I believe me, they're actually already out. There was a shock drop last week. I was sure that I was going to see reverse Grinches this weekend. But I guarantee in January, Santa is going to bring one of these Ramblers reverse Grinches. I know it. I know it for a fact. Someone is. And I'm trying to think who else plays in Kobe's. Will Smythe plays in Kobe's.
Phil was rocking some pink shoes.
Phil is playing in a shoe called GT Cuts, which is a basketball shoe, and it's a high level basketball shoe, and so it sells for about $200. It's a quality basketball shoe. So whereas some guys play with LeBrons, some guys play with Kyrie Irving used to have a shoe that people liked. But I honestly haven't looked enough at some of the guys playing this year. I'm kind of more interested in the coaches. The coaches sport more lifestyle shoes.
Yes, that is definitely true.
You know, the coaches all had on the first game, they had panda dunks, which are just black and white dunks, but they call them pandas. So is that what you're talking about in terms of shoes?
Yes. I wanted to give props to Will and his Grinches.
Well, what was cool was for the Harvard game, they called it their holiday game. They had a picture of Will in his Grinches.
Yes.
And it was like, it kind of was like Grinch writing. So whoever does the graphic design for Loyola, heads up, shout out to you. Great subtle Grinch thing there.
All right, I'm going to take the mic so you can take a drink and clear the throat. But looking forward, so off this during the middle of the week for finals. So guys, study hard. Although, you know, I was listening to the Bathtub Blurs, and I just love the fact they call them the boys. So boys, you know, just that was hilarious. But anyway, so guys, study hard, do well, finish well this semester. And then looking forward, Saturday is USF down in Tampa. Something to think about is, although they have a sub 500 record, they did win their last game against Florida State by 16, 88 to 72. Common opponents that we know of, they played UNI, they beat UNI by 9, but then lost to UMass by 10 a few weeks back. So so they have played some opponents that we are familiar with by name as well as by playing them regularly over the last couple of years. And so this is a game where, again, I think very similar to Tulsa, FAU, they're in the same conference, where they're going to have some three-point shooters. They're going to have, you know, they're going to want to drive and get free throws. And so this is a game where it's like very indicative of what we will see in the A-10. I think we want to see where the Ramblers, what did they learn from Tulsa, from FAU, from Harvard, from Boston College, and how they can apply it to this opponent coming up against USF, the Bulls.
Yeah, we'll be excited to watch that. And we will put out a podcast next week.
Yep.
Right before the holiday, kind of reviewing that. And I want to just give a shout out to the Women Ramblers.
Yes.
Who have gone 3-0 the last three games. And so.
Yeah, big wins against Northwestern. Milwaukee was the most recent one. I don't know. And then
Eastern. And kudos, Eastern was the Eastern. Middle one.
Yes. And then kudos to them. I called it on Twitter, but Coach Guth came into the locker room to celebrate and walks in.
I think it's Guth. Guth.
Is it Guth or Guth?
Guth.
Help us out, two Ambler fans. I think it's Guth or Guth?
Guth.
Okay. Coach G, I'll go with, walks in and no one's in the locker room. And just like, where'd everybody go? And all of a sudden the girls come out of the locker. So I thought that was,
women.
I thought that
the was women.
Good. The women.
The women. We're not the Bathtub Blurs. We can't get away with that. Yeah, we can't get away with that kind of cutesy. I love my girls. No, that doesn't work for us.
Yes, that does not work. Oh, but also on
this
the
This is
Twitter
a Title verse. IX approved show.
That's right. The women, yes. Kudos to the women and their segment on Twitter about what are the girls, what are the women listening to?
Come on.
I did it again. And I love the fact that they said the name of the artist and then played a sample. So this old guy, old, you know, 90s callback guy could hear, oh, that's what they're listening to. That's the, so that I can look it up. So
yeah, kudos. No, I like that. And, yeah, it was kind of funny. Sam, how do you say her? I don't know how to say her last
Galapanopoulos?
Name. Yeah, Sam Galapanopoulos. She had like a Morgan Wallen song. It's like, girl, you're from Skokie. Come on. Come on, Morgan Wallen. Come on.
Yeah.
But like, yeah.
Yeah, that was just
you like, went to Niles West. Country music.
Country music. I don't get it. I live in the South. I still don't get it. Right. Hey, two final things I wanted to bring your attention. I don't know if you saw this on your sick bed this weekend, but St. Joe's played Princeton and knocked them out of the undefeated ranks. So kudos to St. Joe's. So again, proving that St. Joe's is going to be good this year. And the second thing was, it was all over Twitter, I think today, I don't remember, maybe today or last night, but Norfolk State, because I live in Norfolk or near Norfolk, played ISU down in Bloomington. And evidently, one of the fans courtside said something that you're not supposed to say, and the player reacted to it, and then the coach went off for Norfolk State. And then to the point that then, you know, the ISU coach wanted him to be teed up, but didn't know what was going on. So then they ended up getting in a verbal match. It was all over ESPN and the highlights on Twitter. And so it was just like, it was one of those things of like, oh my gosh, are we still doing this? And was, you know, excited to see a lot of people standing up for Norfolk State saying this is ridiculous and, you know, this is uncalled for. But, you know, was just like, as someone who regularly hangs out with folks that, you know, graduates of Norfolk State, was just like, this is uncalled for. And just like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah. No, Norfolk State, historically black college, right?
Yes.
And yeah, they're going in Southern Illinois, and I can only imagine
Central Illinois.
I can only imagine what was said. Yeah. And I actually saw someone ripping on one of the Atlantic 10 teams for playing Norfolk State. And it's like, you know, because they were kind of making a joke that we played Chicago State and then UMass or somebody played Norfolk State. I'm like, Norfolk State went to the
go to the tournament every other year.
Yeah, they've gone to the tournament multiple years. I saw them play Howard last year to get into the tournament. It's like they're a good team. Like I again, these guys on Twitter who just live in this world where, oh well, this team should always beat this team. It's like, dude, do you ever watch college basketball? People lose to lesser quote unquote opponents all the time, It's why we play the game. So yeah, well, I did not see that, and I was glad I didn't see it, because of course I might have got on my Twitter soapbox and started becoming the keyboard warrior again if I would have saw that, because that would have annoyed me.
But I love the fact that Norfolk State actually won that game.
Oh, that's even better.
Yes.
That's even better. Yeah. Jaden is not going to ISU. He's applied at a lot of schools, but he had this aversion to ISU. So,
well, now I know why.
So he's not interested. All right. Well, let's get out of here before I say something that I regret. And shout out to Jaden Dawson, who, by the way, is now at the top of the leaderboard of the Dobbers Dogs of the Year.
Yes.
Although, if he keeps starting,
Hold on. Dobber Dogs is just Dobber Dogs.
Well, he's definitely a Dobber Dog. And I'm trying to come up with a nickname for him. I feel like JD needs a nickname.
I
was looking for a sample for him. Keep playing like you're playing, young man, and you will get memed by the Dobber. Here we go. For the analyst with the attention to detail, Sammy D, this is your old friend Dobber saying, go Ramblers.
Go Ramblers.